5 days chanting retreat at Dhamma Drum Retreat Center. So most of our followers went up to have this retreat. But today we still have many people here. That's good. 那我们这个周末呢有那个念佛参悟，所以大部分的人都上山去念佛，但是我们还是有一些人实验佛经。So let's start with the kind of verse for the English，我们先念一下开经偈。Chinese verse and English.
无上甚深微妙宝。 百千万劫难遭遇，我今见闻得受持，愿解如来真实意。The
answer vast, profound, and sublime Dharma is difficult to encounter in the million eons. Today receive, hear, receive, and uphold it. Allow me to fathom the true meaning of the Tathagata. So today's topic, we go to the fifth Bodhisattva in the Sutra of Complete Enlightenment, called the Bodhisattva Maitreya. He is really famous both in Chinese and in the Western society. He is the one going to be attain the Buddhahood next in this world and give the teaching to all the sentient beings in this world. 那之前呢，我们前面的一个章节，金刚藏菩萨的时候呢，有讲到一个很重要的三个问题。金刚藏菩萨呢，在问佛，那众生到底是由何而来的？所以他问了一个很重要的三个问题。他说：“佛啊，你一直说我们本来成佛。” 那如果说我们本来就有无明，那你为什么说我们本来成佛？那如果说呢，是本来成佛后起无明的话，那请问佛明什么时候要再起无明，然后变成跟我们一样的众生？那佛的最重要的回答是说。 你为什么会有这样三个问题？最主要是你有轮回之见，你有了轮回之见之后，你看不清楚事情的真相，你才会引起这三个问题。事实上是你的三个迷惑，所以佛劝大家说，如果要了解真实相的话，那必须要断轮回之见。 So last chapter. Bodhisattva Vajragava, he asked very important three questions regarding the origin of life, origin of sentient beings. He asked Buddha, first, you know, Buddha, you say that all sentient beings are originally attained the Buddhahood. Why we are ordinary sentient beings with such ignorance now? Second question, if we originally has all this ignorance, why you claim that we all attained the Buddhahood already? Third question, if we originally had attained the Buddhahood, then generate ignorance afterward, then Buddha, when will you generate ignorance and become sentient beings like us again? And all these three questions, the core answer of the Buddha is that he told Bodhisattva Vajragava that you will will have these three confused questions is because you have cyclic view. That's why you cannot see the truth. You cannot see the suchness. That's why you have these questions. So the only way for you to let go of this question is you have to cut off the cycling view. You have to sever the cycling view, and then you can see the true suchness, and you will not have this big question anymore. Cycling view. Samsaric view, something like that. Samsaric view or cycle views. That is one of the theory. Okay. We will talk about that later. Okay. 所以呢, 本来呢，我已经讲说。 非为正问啊，你们问的问题都因为有轮回之见，所以问的问题都不是正确的问题。可是接下来为什么还有八位菩萨要站起来问呢？因为你真的还没有证得实相，那不能就此打住喽。所以呢，弥勒菩萨因为他是当来下生的弥勒尊佛，他有一个很重要的责任，就是他是下一尊。 要来这个娑婆世界成佛，然后度众生，所以他必须要面对我们这些五浊恶世的众生，所以他很 care， 他一定要问清楚跟佛问清楚说，那到底是要怎么办？要怎么样帮助众生这个根除这个轮回之见呢？我要怎么帮助众生？所以他就问了他的问题 ，so。 Since Buddha has already told Bodhisattva Vajragava, say, all these questions is not the right question because you have samsara views. And how come that there are eight Bodhisattvas after dare to ask more questions? That is because most of us are still not see our Buddha nature yet. And we cannot stop the question. We have to keep asking until we know how to practice and how to attend the Buddha. So, Bodhisattva Maitreya arrives and asks his question. Since he is going to be the next Buddha, come to this world, attend the Buddhahood, and also help all the sentient beings here. So he wanted to know, you know, how he can help people to sever the cyclic views or sever the cyclic existence, and then how, and also how can he help these people? So he has his question. 那那个弥勒菩萨他的问题的核心呢？第一个首当其冲的就是问佛。 要怎么断轮回的根本？你要如何断轮回根本？然后呢，在轮回里，在我们这轮回的众生里面，到底有几种的性，几种的特性？那当他呢回入尘劳，再到这个尘劳的世界当中呢，我要有哪一些方法可以教化这些难调的众生？ Now, then what is the core question from Bodhisattva Maitreya's art? First, of course, how to sever the roots of samsara. How can we sever the roots of the samsara? Second, how many capacities are there among all those sentient beings? And third, what kind of expedient methods I can use to help those sentient beings to, you know, see what the roots of samsara. 那这是弥勒菩萨三个最重要的问题。那他这个问题最主要呢，他不是在谴责，在 complain 说 这个五浊恶世的这些众生啊，业障这么重，怎么回事？见这么重，他最主要的问题是在帮助我们，怎么样亲近我们的智慧之眼，然后能够呢，能够真的体证到无生法忍。那我们知道说，在佛教的理论里面呢，有讲到五眼，五种眼。第一个是肉眼，就是我们一般人有的肉眼。第二个是天眼。第三个呢是慧眼，智慧之眼。第四个是法眼，佛法的法，法眼。第五个是佛眼。那他们所以可以看到的层次，看到的东西是不一样的。So, the question from Maitreya, Bodhisattva Maitreya, is not to blame or complain about, you know, why all the sentient being has those samsari views, has those erroneous views, and such, we are such ignorant, so we cannot attain the Buddha, we don't see the Buddha nature. The purpose of the question is to help us to cleanse our wisdom eye so that we can really experience or attain the so-called the forbearance of non-essence. This term has different kinds of translation. The forbearance of non-arising, the forbearance of no birth, no beginning. I'll explain it later. And from Buddhist principle, we have five kinds of vision, or five eyes. The first, the lowest level is called physical eye. The second is called heavenly eye. Third is called wisdom eye. And fourth, Dharma eye. And the super high level is called Buddha eye. 那肉眼呢，一般是就是我们现在有的凡夫的这个眼睛。那我们这个眼睛呢，大家可想而知嘛，这个肉眼很有局限的。我们可以看多远？一公里，不知道看得远。反正就是只能看到某个程度，就看不清楚了。我们有远近的限制，那我们可以看多大呢？我们的眼视觉啊，当然跟距离有关，可以看多大呢？我曾经哦，小时候在海边，那时候我住在台湾的东岸花莲，每次去海边，然后人家就跟我说，这个太平洋的彼岸是美国，然后我就很蛮意思的，就在那边瞪着看，说这样吗？我是不是可以一直看一直看，我就可以看到美国？但是我什么都看不到，我就看到一个海平线。那时候也不想说地球是圆的，是看不见，就觉得说应该不用力看可以看得到，但是我看不见。那小呢？我们可以看多小？现在我看很多人老花，这样已经看不见了，要这样，那没有办法，我们只能看某种程度的大小。更惨的是，还有很多成见，我们会挑我们想看的。好，可以看一下冷气，前面那个，我下班去。 所以我们的肉眼事实上所以可以看到的是非常局限的。So the first level is about our physical eyes. The physical eyes has its limitation. How far we can see. I remember when I was very little, I was born in the east side of Taiwan. And people told me that, you know, across the Pacific Ocean, that is America. So I just so naively stand at the coast and I just stare the sea very, very strongly. I think I can see America. So I just keep staring, hoping that I can see America. But I can't. And also I don't know that the Earth is a ball shape, a bowl kind of shape. So I can't see, really see. I only can see the sea level. So I can't see America across the Pacific Ocean. And how detailed we can see. I know that people, when they are age, you know, they can see things closely. They have to see before. What is that called? Near sight or, you know, far sight. You can see this. But you can see things closely. So, what we can see in this world is really limited. On top of that, we have so many discrimination, prejudice in our mind. We pick what we want to see. We ignore what we don't want to see. So, in this world, what is happening with our physical eyes? It's really we only see very, very limited few things. 那第二个呢是所谓的天眼，天眼呢它就已经是有一点，已经是讲到神通了。那天眼它就没有障碍了，它要看多远就可以多远，它甚至它可以看到他方世界，不仅是地球上，他方世界的众生它可以看得到，地狱的众生。幽冥界的众生他可以看得到，同时呢他还可以看过去的未来。但是呢有天眼呢并不代表他已经没有烦恼，有时候因为有这样的天眼通，他烦恼更多。为什么？因为没有智慧。当他可以看到整个宇宙所有的众生，本来呢不知道老公交男朋友交女朋友，没看见嘛，结果你也看见了，他居然跟别人在打情骂俏。你看到你的先生过去是哦，原来哦对你很不好，然后呢你又看到啊，我们这个房间哦不是只有我们耶，还有满屋子的众生，还有鬼耶。你的烦恼会比一般人更多，因为你看到了更多，然后你不能消化。你看到的不是我们众生的一些种种不如意的现象，你看到全宇宙，还有过去、现在跟未来的种种状况。如果你没有智慧，你会崩溃。The second is having eyes that you cannot not only you can see very very far away, very very detailed.You can see what is happening in other universe. You can see what is happening in the spiritual realm. For example, you can see a lot of ghosts around. And not only that, you can see the past and you can see the future of what was going on and what will be going on. With this supernatural power,It doesn't mean that you have less vexation. Sometimes you would have more vexations because you see more. You've already generated a lot of vexation when you see the limited things in this world. And when you see what's going on all around the universe, heaven, earth, and down the hell, if you do not have wisdom or compassion, you actually will generate more obsession. But with heavenly eyes, there is a good part, is that you will generate faith about what you will say. That the lifespan is not just this present world, present life, and not just this human world. It has past, present, and future. It has cycling, samsara, existence, and you need to practice. 那但是有天意的好处就是它会给我们对于佛所教导的东西产生信心，我们会知道说不是只有我们这个地球这个世界，不是只有我们今生今世，我们有过去时、现在时跟未来时，我们还有六道的众生跟十法界，这个是一般人很难去相信，因为我们看不见。 We don't believe it, we don't have faith in what Buddha says most of the time because we cannot see it. Okay. 那第三个眼呢是慧眼，有了智慧之眼呢，表示你有这个智慧去看透一些事情，这时候呢，你不会再为你的身心世界的一些现象起烦恼，被他们所捆绑。 那这个智慧之眼，它就能够让你超越生死。但是呢，你还是有一个，还是有它的功力，还是有觉得有一个，就是说还有一个法存在。 So the third level is about wisdom eye. At this point, you have the wisdom to see through all the phenomena, all the physical and spiritual phenomena. You will not be bound by all those phenomena, and you will not generate vexation because of those phenomena. However, you still have some limitation. You still think that there is, you still have attached to the Dhamma. So we go to the fourth level called Dhamma Eye. 那我们在，所以当我们能够超越慧眼的时候，我们进入法眼。这时候，你看有这个法，成为你的障碍。那法眼又称为清净的慧眼，就是你的慧眼在更清净了以后呢，你就可以得到法眼。这时候，你就是属于菩萨的层次，你不再执着任何的事情，但是呢，你还有一份的无明，认为有众生。 So, when we go to the fourth Dhamma Eye, the Dhamma Eye means that you go beyond the wisdom eye, you cleanse your wisdom eye, and so all the Dhamma is not a hindrance for you. At this point, that nothing can be an obstacle for you. However, you still have a very, very subtle, the last ignorance. Is that you think there is a sentient beings to deliver. You still have a subject and object. Then we have to go to the future level. 所以到了第五个level呢，就是一个法眼。当你能断除一切的我执跟法执的时候呢，最后你就是得到了清净的法眼，去一切无碍。So when you can keep practicing and go to the fifth level, cleanse all the self-attachment and dharma attachment, then you can have, you actually realize the suchness and you have the Buddha eye, you attain the Buddha group, that everything is clean and pure. No discrimination, no subject, no object. So why I mention these five eyes? 我为什么提这个无眼呢？就是因为在佛要回答弥勒菩萨的问题的时候，就告诉了弥勒菩萨说：“你这些问题呢， 是可以帮助众生亲近他们的慧，帮助他们，所以他也是属于比较高层次的。你亲近你的慧眼的时候，你开始得到法眼，然后你能够在法眼之中不断的去修行，最后你可以证得无生法眼。所谓的无生法眼，就是说你的心知道说一切法呢是不生不灭的，不是缘起的，是不生不灭，本来就在那里。当你对无生法有这样的一个认识的时候呢，你不再去分别紧责，也就是说如果可以这样的修行的话，你其实就是走上了菩萨道。那在此呢，其实佛陀已经从前面的所谓的顿修开始告诉我们众生如何见修。那无生法忍，无生忍，他这个时候呢的体验是没有所谓的烦恼，没有烦恼，没有智慧，没有过去，没有现在，也没有未来，没有这样的分别。而不是说我们证得了无生法忍是证得了什么智慧，因为当你还有智慧的分别的时候，表示你还有烦恼存在，因为烦恼跟智慧是一体的两面。 So why I mention the five eyes is becausefrom the answer of the Buddha to Bodhisattva mentioned that, Buddha mentioned that your question can actually help all of sentient beings to prove their wisdom eyes so that they can attain the forbearance of non-messes. What it means is that you can see and you can realize that everything,all the things has no beginning. It's not that things come into being. It's that everything is already there. So you will experience that there is no vexation, neither wisdom. There is no past, present, and future. You break the time and space.Nothing limits you. Everything is as such. So, the so-called non-nessence, the attend the forbearance of non-nessence, doesn't mean that you attain something and you gain the wisdom. Because when you still think that you gain wisdom, vexation still exists. Because wisdom and vexation are the two sides of the same thing. So that's what Buddha want to emphasize, the question that Maitreya asked, the purpose of the question. 所以佛在开宗明义的时候就强调说这些问题很好，它可以带来给我们什么样的帮助，那它的目的。那接下来呢，佛就开始解释到底什么是轮回的根本，那我们要怎么断除轮回的根本。我说其实啊，轮回的根本就是我们的恩爱贪欲，我们的恩爱贪欲。那我们的欲啊，我们的爱是有执着的爱，我的恩爱，因为执着的爱，我们产生了一些欲望。那这些欲望呢，它可以分成很多种类。那因为我们是生活在欲界，对不对？所以我们有欲望是我们的特征，所以我们在欲界。那欲界呢，有一种叫做初五欲，粗细的粗哈，还有细五欲。所谓的初五欲呢，就是指财色名食睡，我们希望赚很多的钱。我们希望有性的满足，我们希望我们很有名、有权利、有名有权，我们希望吃好吃的， 就算没有吃好吃，我们还是要吃，不然我们没办法生存下去。然后我们要睡觉，我们要休息，这是非常基本的五种人的五种粗的欲望。那这粗的五种欲望呢，其实呢，它是建筑在我们非常细微细的五种欲望上面。那细的五种欲望呢，叫做色、声、香、味、触。色是我们看得见的，声是我们听得见的，香味是闻得见的，味道是可以尝得到的，触是可以触摸感觉到的。So, Buddha starts to ask the core question. You know, what's the roots of samsara? Buddha says, it relies on our attached love and desire. That we still continue in our cycle of samsara.And since we are living in the desire realm, so having desire is our characteristic. We are born to have desire. So we can classify our desire into two categories. One is called the obvious five desire. This five desire.One is about money, wealth. We all want money. And second is sexual desire. The third is we like fame and power. The fourth, we have to eat to survive. And the fifth is we have to sleep, we have to rest. And these are five fundamental desires for all of us.These five so-called obvious desires is actually based on five subtle desires. The so-called five subtle desires are what you can see, what you can hear, what you can smell, what you can taste, and what you can touch. 那怎么说呢？色声香味触，当我们需要财富的时候，当然基本的要求我们要付账单嘛，基本的东西、基本的生活需求我们需要钱。可是为什么要去赚更多的钱呢？我们想要住大房子嘛，舒服，对不对？我们呢可以开跑车嘛。舒服啊，是不是？那我们可以去吃好吃的，对，那五星级的饭店跟一般的汽车旅馆，如果我有钱，我可以去住五星级饭店啊。我为什么要住五星级饭店呢？第一个，它看起来漂亮，看起来就舒服啊，赏心悦目啊，怎么这么好的装潢，对不对？那然后呢？还有很好听的音乐啊，而不是在马路边的汽车吵闹声啊。第三个呢，它的食物是非常香的，它的房间都有很好的香味啊，还有好吃的东西啊。而且呢，它的床铺，它的那个床铺的那个 bed 就是很好的材质，睡起来真是舒服。光一个材哦，它其实。你对于财的欲望永无止境，其实你要满足你的性欲，色也一样哦。大家想想看，你会去跟一个很丑很丑的人，看起来就觉得看不下去的人去有性行为吗？如果呢，他讲话很难听呢？如果他是一个流浪汉，全身很臭呢？如果她皮肤很粗，是一个老女人，我们对于性的欲望，对于吃脆碎，对于名，我们希望有名声。你看那些有名的人大部分是不是要穿得很光鲜，有名， 有名的人有有名的负担，你都可以去吃路边摊。你要去吃你的等级应该要去吃的食物，你慢慢的会被这个粗的五欲呢，其实是你是为了满足的心。So believe then the so-called the obvious five desire is actually based on the subtle five desire. For example, money and wealth. Yeah, of course we need to make money. We have bills to pay. We have education fee. We have electric fee. We have a lot of things to pay to maintain our living. However, why we need to make more money?Why do you want to make more money? Yes.
Greed.
Yes. Why?
Insecurity.
Insecurity. Because what if one day I lose all my money? Or what if my children, they don't want to take care of me anymore? I have to be independent.That's very good reason. And how about I want to buy a bigger house, good neighborhood, right? And I want to have a big, good car. You know, if I go to a meeting in other state, I want to live in a 5-star hotel, not a motel.Because first, it looks good. You know, all the decoration looks good. And second, you know, the music good. It's not a noisy car, you know, just beside the street. It has very light music. It smells good. You know, sometimes the hotels smell stink, right? You know,The hotel, the 5-star hotel, the food is good. And also the bed, you know, the quality of the bed, touch good. Right? See, if we have more money, we can go to the 5-star hotel. I can take airplane, not a train, not a bus. I can eat good food. I can have a good house and sleep well.So everything is based on our subtle five desire to satisfy all those five desire. 所以呢，初五欲，细五欲，它让我们一直产生很多很多的欲望，所以起贪心。为了这个贪心呢，我们就一直轮回。这个贪心会助长我们的执着的爱。当你住惯了五星级饭店的时候，你是打死不去住 motel 的，对不对？那你就要为了要能够每次都去五星级饭店，你就一定要赶快再去赚更多的钱。但是这所有的欲望当中呢，最最基本的、最普遍的，一个是淫欲，一个是食欲。我们古代中国有一句话叫食色性也，食跟色这两个是本性。我可以不要钱，我可以睡这个吃的随便吃，我也可以不要米，可是我一定要吃，我一定要有性，我才可能繁衍我的后代，维持这个生命的延续。食跟色是两个主要。Among all those desires, you know, when we attach to it, then we will generate more desire to keep it, to satisfy our desire, and then we will want more.So that's we generate greed, right? And so in return, the desire, attached love will generate a lot of desire, and the desire will enhance our attached life. So once you get used to staying in a five-star hotel, you will never, never want to spend the night in a motel. Okay? In order to keep your desire, you have to make more money. So everything is cycling, influenced with each other. But among those, all the desire we have, they are two very fundamental, basic, universal desires that all the sentient beings have. Is the desire for sex and desire for food. So there is a Chinese old saying saying, food and sex, sexual desires are our nature. We are born to have these two desires. And I remember there is a very famous psychologist, Freud. He is renowned for his redefinition of sexual desire as the primary motivational energy of human life. He also stated that all human beings have three desires. Sex, food, and thirst. You have to fulfill your sex, to satisfy your sex desire, food, hungry desire, and third desire. So that's basically the same. So everybody thinks that the major desire relies on sex and food. 所以呢，这个部分呢，就是佛陀有讲到特别提到隐喻，这个隐喻它不是一个负面的字眼，隐喻呢，它本身就是它经文里面讲到说，一切种性啊，不管是卵生、胎生、湿生、化生，皆因隐喻而正性命，也就是说，所有的各种各式各样的生命呢。 它都是因为有，就是阴阳或是female 跟 male 的这个隐喻的关系，那它才可能繁衍后代，它的命才能够继续的繁衍下去，这是一个非常的本能，你一定要繁衍下去这个本能。那因为有了隐喻呢，所以我们有生命。 我们的生命都是因为隐喻而来，就父母亲有了性之后，才有我们的存在。那有我们的存在之后，我们为了爱护我们的生命，所以呢，我们有我们的欲望。所以从这个所谓的执着的这个爱呢，产生了这最基本的这个隐喻之后呢，然后我们产生了对于生命的执着，然后对于欲望的执着。 所以总的来之，就是要把这个贪跟爱贪念，尤其是隐喻这个部分要断除，至少不要被它牵引。So in the sutra, Buddha especially emphasized that all the beings, no matter it's you are born from the egg, you know, just like no matter what way you were born. Like the worm, you know, the insect, the all kinds of animals, they have different kinds, through egg or through embryo, right? No matter what kind of, which way you were born, they all because of this sexual activity. So the sexual activity is not a negative word. It's our original ability to do it. So that we can continue our offspring to continue the lifespan. So that's the nature of ability for all the sentient beings that we have sex. And because of the sex, then we generate life. we have offspring, we have our life, current life. And because we have life, so we love ourselves. In order to love ourselves, we have to satisfy our desire. So it's kind of a, in order to satisfy our desire, we have a lot of fixations and all that. And that, at that point, we can talk about the 12 links of dependent origination. 所以呢，因为有这样的一个观念，所以呢，佛法就讲到了十二因缘。那十二因缘呢，如果我们今天因为不是讲十二因缘啊，十二因缘就是从无名、行、识、名色，就是产生了身体跟心理，然后六路有六根，有六根的存在，六路，然后触。 就可以接触六尘，触然后受，爱取有生老死，这个十二个阶段呢，它就一直的轮回。那我们刚刚有讲触受，然后就爱，对不对？爱，然后你就想要有，想要抓取，然后你就产，你就开始你就有一些业力，你的业报呢，就让你有下一次转生的因缘。 然后你一转世之后呢，你又开始然后又死掉，死掉之后你的无名还在，然后无名一动的时候呢，它又开始产生事了哈。那事的话就你的事又看到有人在行淫哦，不管是动物还是人还是昆虫哦，有人在行淫的时候，你因为你也是性欲性的本性，你就跟它相应了，相应之后呢，你的事又投胎，投胎了之后呢。 你又开始有你的六根，然后你的六根又接触外层，外层之后你又开始产生，你又接触到这个世界，然后你又开始轮回，不断的轮回，不断的生生死死，从过去、现在到未来，没有停止。So we have twelve links of the dependent origination. I'm not going to talk about this in detail. But briefly, it starts with the ignorance. Since we have ignorance, then when the ignorance move start to respond or start to, then we have a so-called volitional impulses. And this will generate, we will initiate our consciousness. The consciousness, well, our consciousness, because we have sexual desire. So when our consciousness, when we see or feel attention beings is under sexual activity, we are attracted to them. No matter if animal, insect, human being, no matter who they are, when you were attracted to the sexual activity, your consciousness then go to your body, the mother's body. And then you start to generate your physical and mental part. And then you develop six organs. And so you have so-called name and form that related to corporeality and mentality. And then you have six entry. Six entry is you develop six sense organs. And then, and also the objects exist. And then you have the body, you have the mind, and you have the sensor. And you start to get in contact with the environment. So you have contact. Once you have contact, you have sensation, you have feeling. And then you desire, you generate desire or craving for something, and then you want to grasp or clinging to it. And things come to existence. You desire, you want money, you want this woman, or you want this house. You take action, and you generate karma. Things come into existence. And this karma will bring you to your next rebirth in aging and death process. So basically, The 12 links of dependent origination explain our past, present, and future. The samsaric cycle existence of past, present, and future. So there are two points that we can cut off the 12 links. 有两个地方呢是可以把这个十二缘起这个圆环切断，一个地方就是前面佛陀讲无明，断除无明，直接断除无明，我们就不再轮回，就是十二因缘的头切断。可是呢，佛陀已经讲了几个问题，我们还是没有办法切断。切断无明不容易。那对我们众生还有一个希望，就是在爱、触受爱取有这个爱的地方断除，从这个地方把十二的缘起、十二这个缘切断。这时候你也可以断除这个所谓的轮回。So there are two points.Two points that you can cover the cycle, the 12 things. The first one is cut off the ignorance. That's what the previous chapter was talking about. You know, Buddha taught us how to cut off the ignorance. If we can cut off ignorance directly, the 12 things break down.You will not be in the cycle of existence anymore. However, it's kind of hard. You know, see, Buddha has already taught us four chapters. Still cannot cut off the ignorance. We still have one hope. The so-called desire. We know that there is a contact, sensation, desire, grasping, and coming to existence, right?We can cut the point of desire, potential, cut off at this point. Then we cut off the 12 links. Then we are no longer in the samsaric existence. Okay. But, you know, so the attention love is very a key point for us to cut off.But how about Bodhisattva? People will ask, Nanda, how can this world, you know, keep going without love? We need love. Love is a good thing. We love our parents, we love our children, we love people, we love our country, we love this world. Love is very important. What's the difference between the love?So-called attached love and the real love. In Bodhisattva, we call it compassion. 所以呢，那有人就问了：“爱，都把爱断除，怎么可以呢？我爱我的父母亲，我爱我的子女，我爱我的家人，我爱我的国家，我爱这个地球。没有爱，这个世界怎么存在呢？”这个没有道理。可是呢，所谓的爱，为什么我们讲说它是执着的爱？因为它大部分都是它的动机是为自己，我们就称它是执着的爱。那菩萨呢？菩萨的爱呢？它不是为自己，它是为他人，我们称它叫做慈悲。我们需要的是慈悲的爱。不是执着的爱。那慈悲呢，也有三个层次。第一个层次呢，是因为我菩萨跟众生有关系，所以我们去帮助他。比如说，我的家人生病了，我要照顾他，因为他是我的家人。那如果今天是路边一个人生病，我顶多就说I'm sorry， 就这样，你不会去照顾他。那如果说你今天是一个护士，你在医院里面，你会照顾你的病人， 因为他是你的父母，跟你有关系，所以你要照顾他。可是你不会去照顾所有的病人，所以他是建立在一个关系的身上。那第二个层次呢的慈悲，是因为法，就是说菩萨他自然而然看到有人需要帮助，他就会去帮助。可是呢，这个时候他的问题是在于，他还有一个我去帮助众生的分别，还有一个主跟客。所以呢，这是第二层次。到第三层次的慈悲的时候呢，是没有主客的对象，该做什么就做什么，他也不觉得说他在帮助众生。他这时候的慈悲是无限的，没有选择性的，不是因为因缘而起。So, you see, we have, why we call it attached love, or love, for sentient beings, and for Bodhisattva we call it compassion. Because most of the time, the love we have is self-centered. It's related to ourselves. It's about ourselves. So it's kind of selfish.Everything you love, I love you. If you don't love me back, I get mad. Right? If I do something for you and you treat me bad in return, I get mad. So there is a self-centered, there is a self in there. So it's called attached love, conditioned love. And for Bodhisattva, it's called compassionate love.And there are three levels. The first level is based on relationship, based on some kind of conditions that the Bodhisattva sees that people are suffering. They are in need. And they will go help. And for example, when we see our parents get sick, we will take care of them. But when we hear other people's parents get sick, we only say, maybe say, oh, I'm sorry.And when you are a nurse, you take care of a patient in the hospital. That's because you have a relationship. He or she is your patient. But you won't take care of all the six people in the world, right? So we have, it's based on some relationship, we will show our compassion or give our help. And the second level is called the compassion based on the Dharma.So Bodhisattva will spontaneously help all those people in need, no matter you have relationship with them or not. So that's why one Bodhisattva has 1,000 hands and 1,000 eyes. He can see a lot of places, a lot of people in need, and he can do it, help people simultaneously. Okay? But still, at this level, you still have a subject and object. I am helping you.When we go to the third level, it goes beyond object and subject. It just help. No limitation. So, it's very universal. It's everywhere. You can help people everywhere, universal, and you are not thinking, you don't feel like you are helping people.So there are three levels of compassion. 所以呢，就是我们要区别自己的爱其实是有私欲在里面的。那菩萨的爱呢，它是没有期待。那好，讲到这里了，所以师父在书上就一直提醒我，他说哈，我们修行的时候呢。不可以存有任何的欲望，想要获得什么，想要获得什么，只要我们想要获得什么，它就会变成我们修行的障碍。包括我想要成佛，都是一种欲望，都要去除。So, super emphasizes that in the book, saying that, you know, especially for our practitioners, you cannot have any kind of desire. If you have any desire, that desire will become your obstacle. Even the desire to attain the vision. All this desire, the intention, will become your obstacle. So all this you have to let go, you have to cut off. Cut off your desire is the way out. 一定要把欲望、爱欲切除，才有可能超出六道。那接下来呢，佛就告诉另外回答另外一个问题，说：那到底会有多少种的人？那佛就说，基于我们的不同的执着的爱，是不同的执着呢？ 会有五种人，你会遇到。那这五种人呢，基本上就是声闻缘觉佛菩萨，跟没有修行，就是没有修行的众生，就是一般的凡夫五种。当然，这个五性呢，五性差别在很多书上有不同的分类。那我们依照这个师父的书上来分类来做说明。那为什么会有这五种的？ 差别呢？最主要是因为他们有不同层次的贪欲呢，产生了两种障碍，一种叫视障，一个叫眼障。So then Buddha go ahead answer the second question. How many capacities people are there that I have to help? And Buddha say, you have five kinds. Basically, it's called five kinds. Saravakas, Pratyekabuddhas, Bodhisattva, Buddha, and sentient beings. So there are five kinds. And how come there are, how we divide these five kinds? Based on the desire that we have. And you generate two kinds of obstacles. And depends on the obstacle, the light and heavy of the obstacles we have. So that's why we have five kinds of, five levels of sentient, the capacity. 那什么是视障呢? 什么是眼障? 视障就是对事情不清楚, 对世间的一切现象不明白。 那我们就起种种的烦恼。那我举一个例子，大家知道，地球是绕着太阳转，对吧？我们这个太阳系是太阳为中心嘛，所有的星球都是绕着太阳转。可是大家知道，在几百年以前，大家的想法是。 地球是宇宙的中心，所有的星球是绕地球转，这就是视障。那迷障是什么呢？迷障就是我们不明白这个道理，我们没有正知见。那比如说，牛顿大家知道吧？ 那多少从古至今，多少人看到苹果从树上掉下来，没有人觉得有什么不对啊。可是牛顿觉得不对，因为这样的一个疑问呢，他发现万有引力，他发现所有的只要物质的东西都会相互吸引。那这个发现呢？ 算是一个革命性的发现。那很多人可能对这个苹果掉下来这个现象有疑惑，可是呢，他是第一个把这个道理讲给大家听。所以我们可能有视障，事情是 phenomena 的障碍，可是当你视障不见 ，OK， 你觉得有问题，可是你不见得能够通达这个道理。 你就会有理障，那有根据理障跟视障的深浅不同呢？ 我们就会产生真闻缘觉菩萨佛跟众生。Okay, so what is the, there are two kinds of obstacles. One is called obstructions of phenomena. The second is obstruction of principle. So, from the definition that we are confused about the phenomena, worldly phenomena. We are confused about our body, mind, and environment phenomena. And that's why we generate a lot of vexation. Well, I'll give you an example about, you know, you all know that Earth is rotated around the sun, right? So the sun is at the center of this so-called solar universe. All the planets round around the sun. But a couple hundred years ago, all the people think that the Earth is the center of the universe. Everything circles around the Earth, and the Earth is flat. Flat. Right?
Isn't it?
Yeah. Not we come back behind it. So these phenomena, we cannot see it. We cannot tell it's wrong or right, and we see it as real. Right? Because of this issue, scientists fight with each other for many years. Okay. And what is the obstruction for the principle? As you all know, Newton, the scientist Newton, right? So many people from the past see the apple drop down to the earth. But how many of them think that something wrong? Why the apple not drop upward or sideways? Why it's downward? Right? He is not deluded by this phenomenon, so-called obvious phenomenon. He thinks this phenomenon, something in it. And then he starts to investigate, starts to do the research, and he found out very important law, so-called the law of universal gravitation. He told people that all the things with man will attract each other. And this law is a revolutionary discovery for the science field, scientific field. See, we might think that, maybe many people think that, yeah, why did the apple drop downward? But he is the first one who discovered the principle. So most of us cannot understand the principle. So we have the obstruction of the principle. Okay. So, vexations, obstruction from the phenomena, because of, as people say, there are two kinds. One is called vexation obstruction, spent on mental activity. The second is called occupational obstructions, your job, your families, give you a lot of routines and social lives, all this give you a lot of vexations. And the third is called retribution obstructions. It stems from karma. For example, if you were born as a dog, can you meditate? Yeah, you cannot. At least you cannot cross the leg.
Only if the person you have, you say, sit.
Oh, yeah, sit. But cannot sit very long, right? You have to give them a piece of meat or a bone to keep them fit, right? So we have all kinds of obstruction from the phenomena. That's why we generate vexation. Okay. And if we can cut off the obstruction of phenomena, we can go up to the level of Saravaka and Pratyaya Gratitas. And now the next is the so-called obstruction of principle. We can overcome this by understanding the Dhamma or experience the Dhamma. Most of us overcome it or gain our correct views through study, the Buddha Dhamma. But power through understanding is very weak, sometimes cannot last longer. So the most reliable way to see the obstruction of principle is that you experience it directly, see the Buddha nature directly. And your face never move. If you can do that, you go to the level of Buddha. But if you can subdue the obstructions of principle, then you can become a bodhisattva. You are at a bodhisattva level. Subdue means you know that something is wrong, and you know a lot of Dhamma, but you do not have the direct experience yet about the Buddha nature. Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So Buddha tells the Bodhisattva Maitreya, okay, you will encounter these five kinds of capacity. People with these five capacities that you have teach them. And then become the Shukuki encourage us, you know, with the obstructions of phenomena, with the obstruction of principle, we have to keep practicing letting go of our desire, letting go of everything. It's just like, you know, that, you know, we practitioner is on the way to the top of a mountain. The mountain is so high that you cannot see the top. But you have to go, right? But when we reach the side of the mountain, if you want to start it, then there is a gate. And there is a security guard that told you that, you know, if you want to get into the mountain, you have to throw away all your belongings, your money, your house, everything. You have to throw away. And also, you have to let go of your body and mind. You have to let go of everything. Then I will let you get in. If you have obstruction of phenomena, then you will say, no way, this is ridiculous. I need a lot of things in order to get onto the top of the mountain. I need food, I need water, I need a rope. I need a lot of things, you know, in order to climb the mountain. And then now you tell me to let go of this. Then you will not get it. But if you can let go of the obstruction of phenomena, you let go of belongings, all the supplies, water, food you have, you let go of it. You say, I have nothing now, I want to get in. They say, oh, sorry, what about your body and mind? I'm like, no body and mind? Then I'm not exist. Who is climbing the mountain? This is ridiculous. Then you have obstruction of the principle because you don't believe it. You are scared. No body, no mind. I'm not exist. I disappear. How can I get to the mountain? Who is getting to the top of the mountain? But if you really can let go of all this belongings, body and mind, and you will find that you are already at the top of the mountain. There is no gate. There is no door. There is even no mountain. You've already
meaning.
Let go of all the craving, all the desire, everything. And let go of the obstruction of phenomena, let go of the obstruction of principles, then you will be there. In the end, Buddha tell the Bodhisattva nation, when you go to this world and help all these people, you know, they are not going to believe it. First, did I say Chinese card? Okay. Okay. 那师父有讲了一个例子，他说他鼓励我们这些修行人，要怎么样断除我们的欲望，要怎么样能够断除我们的视障跟理障呢？师父讲了一个故事，他说就像我们呢。要登一座看不见山顶的高山，你看不见山顶在哪里，但是你知道你要爬山，然后呢你就要走到山底下，你开始要爬的时候，你有一个守门的人就跟你说，哦，你要爬山是吗？你要到山顶是吗？那首先你要把所有你有的东西统统要放下，包括你的登山装备，你的身和你的心通通丢弃才可以爬。这个时候呢，如果你有视障，你就会说对不起，怎么可能，这座山山顶都看不见，我要很多的食物，我要水，我还要绳子好救生用，我要很多配备我才可以登峰顶的呀，你叫我把它放下，我怎么可能，我可能还没到山顶我就死了，不可能，你就放不下，你就被你的视障限制住，因为你觉得这是不可能的事情。那如果说好，你今天比较高等的，你可以放下视障，他说好，你说这些配备都不要是吧，可以，我通通放弃，然后我要上山，但是呢总能也说对不起，你的身和心也要放下，身和心也不能进去，哼，你这时候你就有理障啊，你就说开什么玩笑，没有真真心我怎么爬山，谁爬山，就没有我了，我就不见了，那是谁登到山顶上去呢？那这时候你有理障，你觉得这是不可能的事情，那你也不会爬山，你也爬不到山的。那唯有呢，你不断的放下执着，放下你的视障跟理障之后呢，那你才有可能登上山顶，因为这个时候你会发现没有门可入，没有山顶可爬，你本来就在那里。那师父一直就是鼓励我们，其实我们修行不是要登，是要登一座高山，要登一座高山的原因是要让我们放下执着跟爱欲，要我们突破视障跟盲障。所以禅修的时候有很多不可理喻的要求，就是这个原因。那最后呢，佛就告诉弥勒菩萨说 OK， 接下来你啊要去娑婆世界成佛度众生啊，你讲这些给他们听，一定有很多人不相信你，所以你第一件要做的事情就是要发大悲愿心，你一定要发大悲心，不然你做不下去。第二个呢，你要在这个人世间呢，就是这个叫做什么？这个视现种种形象，因以何身得度者，你就视现什么样的身体去度他。然后呢，在顺的境界、逆的境界呢，都要跟他一起共事，然后来帮助他们成功。So the Buddha taught the Bodhisattva Maitreya that, no, when you get into the world, people are not going to believe you. They are going to believe in you. So the first thing you have to do is to generate a great compassionate mind. Without this, you cannot keep going. So you have to generate a great compassion in mind. No matter what obstacles you have, no matter how many times you fail, you have to keep going. And then you manifest in different forms. You know, like if they are human, manifest as human. If they are labor, manifest as a labor. If they are the president of the country, manifest maybe as the vice president or something that you can get close to them. And then in a good condition or in a bad condition, no matter what condition they are in or they are at, you have to work with them. Work with them together in order to help them to attain the goal. 常常啊，我们遇到逆境的时候，我们都有贵人来帮助，然后我们渡过难关，我们就觉得说：“哎呀，你真是一位大菩萨。”从来没有人呢，在你飞黄腾达的时候呢，比如说他扯你一个后腿，或是把你的钱全部骗去，你会称那个人是菩萨，一定会觉得说：“这个是讨债鬼，我上辈子欠你的。”这是一个大坏人。可是啊，我们要想一想，当你飞黄腾达在事业顶峰的时候，你事实上你的欲望是在了顶峰。如果今天有一个人忽然把你所有的东西都拿走了，然后再跟着你在一起，然后让你体验到世间的无常，让你体验到你没有真正拥有过任何东西，让你体验到真正的佛法，那他也是菩萨。让你体会到十二因缘的苦。So many times when we have difficulties in our lives, may someone show up and help us overcome the obstacles.We will say, ah, you are a very nice person. You are a very important person in my life. You are a bonus guy. But no one will claim a bad person, a person that comes to steal or grab all you have when you are on top of your career. You have a very successful career. You have a big company. You have a lot of money. You have everything. And when there is someoneto destroy everything you have. Most of the time, we call them criminal, bad person. You know, they should go to hell. But we never think of that they are really bodhisattva. They come to show you that you have too many desires. They come to show you that everything is impermanent. They come to show you that you.Actually, never own anything. They tell you the suffering of the 12 link of the original beginning, the origination. We never think that way, right? But here, when Buddha taught Bodhisattva Matrix, we're with them, and they are in a good shape, and they are in a bad shape.Help them understand the way down. Help them attain the goal. And what is the great compassion mind? Should say that the most important is to make your full great vow and to initiate your bodhisattva vows. 那师父讲大悲心要怎么起呢？最重要的要发四弘誓愿，要发菩萨愿。我们先要传菩萨戒，就是在发菩萨愿。我要断其恶，我要修其善，我要利益一切众生。当你发下这个愿的时候，什么障碍来的时候， of the potential. So we are not, we are in July, we are transmitting the Bodhisattva precepts. Nothing special in the precept. The first, I want to cut off all the bad deeds. Second, I want to cultivate all the virtuous merit. Third, I want to help all sentient beings. Taking the Bodhisattva precepts is actually making the Bodhisattva vows. With these vows in mind, life after life, you will not regret because of obstacles you have. You will go forward diligently no matter what happens to you. So it's a very important precept or important vows to take. If you're interested, we have information in the reception desk. So, in a 有了这样的一个大悲愿，然后呢，在这个世间呢，不断的不断的修行，有一天我们终会，啊，见性。那最后的结语，我要跟大家分享。我们之前讲顿修、渐修，有顿悟、渐悟，我们现在开始讲怎么样渐修，怎么样渐悟。 可是顿悟跟渐悟呢，其实都是开悟，都是渐性。它没有什么高低，因为你看到的都是佛性。那不同的在哪里呢？师父用了一个很好的比喻，他说顿悟啊，就像说你背了一个袋子，你背了一个背包来看，然后你背了一个大铁球，好大的一个铁球。 你背着它，背着它，你修行，一直背着它，然后它就一直磨，一直磨，对不对？然后有一天它磨破了，掉下来，然后你看到那个铁球，哦，原来有一颗铁球在背包里，那破了一个大洞，对不对？你看到整颗铁球，那是顿悟。那渐悟是哦，那是一个渐悟的过程中，就是你一直磨啊，一直磨啊，一直磨。 那渐顿悟是什么呢？顿悟是你背了嘛，你是背了一个佛性，就是你看不见它，一直背着它，一直背着它。可是它里面装的是一堆铁钉，那铁钉很容易刺穿你的背包，对不对？可它就刺穿，让你看到说，这里有一根铁钉，袋子没有破，一直刺，一直刺，一直刺，一直刺，刺到有点破了。你很快就看开悟见性，可是你不是通。 测也不是测悟，所以渐悟跟测悟呢，它的过程是不一样的，但是它最后的结局是一样的。那渐悟哈，它是渐悟呢，它是建立在比较广大的基础，就是你不断的在各个程度角度去修行，层面很大，破洞的时候它破得很大。那渐悟顿悟呢，它就是一个着力点，戳破它。 看到这个是佛性是什么，是在focus在一个点上面，但是它就是一点。然后你要彻悟的话，必须要一直戳戳戳戳很多刀，全部戳破。So, Sifu encourage us to generate great compassion for us. And from this chapter, Buddha starts to share with us. The graduate practice, the graduate step to get enlightened. And Shifu wanted, and I want to share that what Shifu said in the book in the end about what is called sudden path and what is called graduate path. What is called sudden enlightenment and graduate enlightenment. Actually, it's viewed enlightenment from different angles. And she could give an analogy about what enlightenment is all about. For example, if you have a Buddha nature, say it's a big iron ball in your backpack, you carry it, you cannot see it. So you keep carrying it, climbing the mountain, you want to see your Buddha nature. You can't see it because you cannot bring it back. So you just keep carrying it, keep scratching it back, and until one day, the back break in a big hole, and the hole will come out, and you see your Buddha nature. That's called gradual path, because you have to carry this ball for a long, long time in order to break the back. And what is southern path? Southern path is like, you carry like the nail, the iron nail in your back. You carry it, and it because it's sickle pointed, it's easy for the nail to punch out. Right? And you see, that's the Buddha nature. But since you just punch one hole, the whole back is not going to break because of one hole, right? You have to keep punch it. Punch many places, many times, until you have the so-called the ultimate enlightenment. And the whole back break and all the nails come out. And no matter what, in the end, you see the whole Buddha nature. And the gradual path is based on the very broad kinds of practice. And the southern path is very single-pointed, very focused practice. Usually you focus on one thing, one point, and punch it through. But you have to punch many times in order to get the so-called ultimate. So now, it's over time. So today I share with you the teaching how to savor the samsaric existence. The next one is called the Bodhisattva of cleansing wisdom. Okay. Because there are many kinds of practice, because we are talking about gradual path, then there are some kind of things that happen during the path, and then so there are more questions coming out. 那今天我就仅把我们的分享弥勒菩萨的问题跟佛的回答。那接下来呢是清净慧菩萨，因为我们现在已经开始在讲说要怎样进修喽。那在进修的过程中会有很多的事情发生，所以接下去会有很多的菩萨。 后来这个中间会发生什么事情，要怎么处理？那我们下一次再讲清净慧。Okay, so let's chant the verse on marriage. 我们现在要来念五上偈。愿以此功德庄严佛净土，上报四重恩。 下济三途，若有见闻者，悉发菩提心，尽此一报身，同生极乐国。 May the virtuous merits of the Lord and glorify the pure mind of the Buddhas. Outwardly we pay the forbearance of gratitude. Outwardly we alleviate the sufferings of the three destinies. May those who see and hear the Dhamma generate holy mind. Exhausting this body of retribution, may we be born in the land of supreme bliss. Thank you. Let's bow to the Buddha. Bow to Supreme. Bow to each other. Thank you very much. Who is going to make the announcement? Alina. Thank you.
here to make an announcement. There's an upcoming retreat, June 26th.